Quickly, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter and chapter 1. I'll quickly read from verse 3. And it says here, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again." That means has gotten us born again unto a lively hope or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And so that is to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And then he speaks about who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and glory at the appearing of Jesus." Now, we've been speaking on the subject of this, our inheritance, and we have in Christ. And I want to continue along those lines, but kind of start a new series here about the understanding that we will require in order for us to manifest, right, this inheritance within our lives. That is to show forth these things in our lives, the understanding that we require. And what we've seen here is that Peter, and Paul also spoke about this, talked about this inheritance, that once we got born again, we entered into it. In other words, we got born into the right family by the Spirit, and as there could be an inheritance within a natural family where it has been willed by the patriarch in that family, that anybody that gets born into this family by reason of birth, and that's all, he or she becomes a joint heir with other members of the family, right? A joint heir of certain things. So once you are born into that family, there is a portion of that inheritance that is appropriated unto you. And so when we got born again, right, a portion of the inheritance in Christ Jesus reserved in heavenly places has been appropriated unto us. Now, this inheritance, its nature is that it will create an abundance in our lives. We'll see this. It will bring about God's presence where he will do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can ask or think. But first of all, we've got to understand, and I give an example here of, let's try to quantify the vastness of this inheritance. Let's just say a person, and we said this, started working in a big company, and that company took that individuals to a warehouse, and they said, here is the vast amount, and let's say this warehouse, let's say it's about 40 times this place, vast amount of office supplies and stationery that is laid up for you as you do your work every day. So they see the vastness of what is in store. And so they go to work with the consciousness there, not physically carrying the abundance, but with the consciousness of the fact that they are directly linked, all right, to this abundance, and that once a need arises in their space, they can manifest that abundance on their desk or at their desk. So it's a consciousness that they carry. And so what God wants us to do is to carry the consciousness of these unsearchable riches in Christ everywhere we go. We should have it within ourselves. As one writer said, we should become God inside minded. We should have a knowledge of the things that are in that storehouse, and we should every day carry that in our consciousness such that when anything appears on the outside, What comes out of our lips, as the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth we speak, what we say comes as a result of the consciousness that we have within ourselves about that particular abundance. And there is a method, there is a way in which we develop that consciousness within ourselves. There is the practice that brings about, it doesn't just drop on us, or because it is preached and it is taught that we are, you know, carrying the consciousness, there is the practice, I will look at this, that brings a person into that state. And so he wants us to carry the consciousness within, such that when there is a demand, then what simply happens is we speak from that position of abundance. But what I want us to understand, first of all, is that there is no individual in Christ that can, as an individual, manifest everything that is contained in the unsearchable riches of Christ. It is not possible. That's not what he's talking about. The entire body can manifest it, but one part of the body cannot manifest everything that is in Christ Jesus. As members of the body, we have our specific roles. There are certain things that are assigned to us. Those things will bring about an abundance within our lives, but other people will manifest, all right, the grace and the inheritance in their own unique and individual way. That is why we spoke about having one thing, understanding what your objective is, having that one thing that you are exercising your faith for its fulfillment during this season. If we look at Romans chapter 12, it tells us clearly, Romans chapter 12, and verse 3, it says, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we are many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts that differ according to the grace that is given to us. So we have things that differ. In our individuality, we are unique. And there is something that God wants to manifest. We are members one of another. He manifests something else in your life. I rejoice in what he is doing in your life that is distinct from mine. I don't get into envy and jealousy, and it's a major part of the message, but I rejoice and I'm in fellowship with you, but I understand my own individuality and what God has planned and purposed for me inside my own space. And so no man, the Bible says, no man knows the things of a man except the spirit of that man. But then that man must know what belongs to him. He must be conscious of what belongs to him in the inheritance, and he must be exercising his faith, all right, and engaging in certain practice to manifest that, right, to all men and to draw men to Jesus by reason of that. And so we must understand that you are the channel, or you are a channel by which the undifferentiated, which means the blessing in its generic form, is now differentiated and made distinct. In other words, it's your role as a channel to individualize these unsearchable riches, to show in your own space, in your own area, all right, in very distinct ways, these unsearchable riches. Paul spoke about the grace that was given unto him. He said, the same God worketh effectually in Peter to the circumcision, that's the Jews, but he works in him to the Gentiles. So it was the same God, the same source, but the manifestation of that grace differed according to every single person's individuality. And so how do you know which one, all right, you are to pursue, all right, within your own life? First of all, the first way in which you can come to this, right, I'm just laying a foundation on something I want to get into today that is very important and crucial, all right, is the challenge that you may face. Any real challenge in your life is speaking to you about something that has to do with your own individuality and your identity, right? The challenges you face help you in the journey of defining the specific areas that you have been called. As Paul said, God told him, "My grace is sufficient," as he confronted a particular challenge. And so you don't let go, all right, and surrender to outward conditions. It's one of the most dangerous attitudes a person can have, which is one that yields and surrenders and doesn't fight back. All right, one that doesn't understand that it is my business to conquer, all right, the things that come into my space. Okay? If you are going to get far in life, you must have that attitude. Relevant or irrelevant, you tread upon serpents and scorpions. You cannot allow yourself to be intimidated or dominated by any condition within your environment, you know, where things are happening and you have, you know, surrendered and all of that. And this is how David got into it. What was his attitude? He didn't let the bear, neither the lion, intimidate him. He conquered the things that came, all right, within his space there. And that's one major way. I heard George Bush say this after the terrorist attack in 9/11. He said, "We have been waiting for this moment." He said, "For when we look at our parents' generation, we understand that there were certain challenges, the World War, that defined them, that brought them out, that showed their individual, their uniqueness, where they became, and all the people, you know, that emerged, all right, presence in America there, you find out the background, fighting Vietnam War, fighting, you know, World War and all of that, they came out of that place." He said, "Now this challenge will define our own generation and show our true identity. So face your challenges squarely, and I will show how you can deal with these things." And then the second is the deepest seated desire. That one desire, the deepest seated desire within you that acts as an anchor to your soul at this present moment. I'm not talking about material desires on the outside. And it says that, well, I like this car that came out 3 months ago. But if it didn't come out 3 months ago, you won't have desired. So that's not what I'm talking about. We are talking about what is deepest, what is eternal, something that your heart is yearning for, something that is lodged deep, all right, that God has placed there, as it was said of Moses, it entered into the heart of Moses. So something that is inside your heart that expresses itself. Now, desire simply means the motion of something in you seeking for expression. And when there's something in you seeking for expression, it shows itself in what is called desire. That's why Jesus said, "Whatsoever thing you desire." So it shows itself that way. It's an indication of what you must pursue. All right, so we look at it in those two areas and look at how, right, the mechanism, how we walk with God and walk through this. But let me say something here. It is very important in life that you have a strong sense of identity. Very important that you have a strong sense of identity. And what do I mean by that? That you are conscious of who you are in Christ Jesus. That you don't allow the environment, all right, to define you or to determine what you think about yourself. Now, let me say this. You cannot control other people's impressions about you. You cannot control what men think about you. And that's not what we're talking about. We are saying regardless of how men think, what they say, prevailing circumstances in your life at that particular moment, what you say to your own self, and the way and manner in which you see your own self in God, if it's of utmost importance. All right, Jesus wasn't bothered. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" That wasn't the point. The point there was that Jesus knew who he was. He understood his identity. He knew that on the inside. He didn't even disclose it. We're not even saying telling people about it. All right? He didn't tell people. In fact, when the demons were manifested and they started broadcasting and announcing his identity, he told them to keep quiet. It's not important that men know who you are, but it's important that you know who you are, that you understand your own identity in God, and you are deeply rooted in that particular thing. That you constantly, and the way you do this is that you constantly affirm all right, who you see yourself as being in Christ, and regardless of what's going on the outside, slowly but with all certainty, the real you will soon appear unto all, which means certainly them. All right, there was a time that in Isaiah, you know, God said, I've called you to raise up the tribes of Israel. He said, but understand this, though Israel be not gathered, don't get confused, you are glorious in my eyes. In other words, whether Israel was responding to Isaiah or they were not responding, right, he saw himself as being glorious in the eyes of the Lord. He saw himself as who he was in God, that God had separated him from his mother's womb as his servant in whom God had glorified himself. He was fully aware of that identity regardless of what was going on within his environment. So I'm not talking about people's perception about you. I'm talking about the knowledge of your own self and who you are in Christ Jesus. And in order to build that strong sense of identity, because you will need that, you have to have times when you declare the scriptures that say something about you to yourself. In other words, you must practice isolation every day. If it's going to be for 15 minutes, where you are all alone, and all you are doing is a form of meditation upon the scriptures that describe your identity, where nothing can replace, I wrote this here, the strength that is gained from such exercises. Nothing can replace it. What that's how a person stands tall in the face of circumstances. That's when people hear news and others collapse, and one person stands up and there's quietness and assurance and confidence in the heart of that person. What is the secret? Practicing, all right, in isolation, by yourself, right, declaring the scriptures that describe to you something about yourself, repeating those things over and over to yourself until it sinks into your consciousness and becomes a firm footing. We are not saying you are trying to convince people. Nobody has to hear about it. Nobody has to know what you're confessing. They just must see the word of God manifest in your flesh. They have to see that aura that comes out from a place, all right, a soul that is anchored, all right, in the truth in God. Jesus told the disciples, all of you will be scattered. I don't get my identity there. He said, but I want you to understand that the Father is with me. He was strong on that, right? He wasn't responding, okay, to what was going on, right, on the outside. He was strong on his identity in Christ. So you should have confessions like this you make every single day, that I am a spirit being. So you are conscious about that part of your existence, who you really are. That is the true you, all right? I'm a spirit being. I have a soul. To understand that I have a soul, I have a mind. So know that if certain thoughts come to your mind, it doesn't necessarily mean that that is you thinking them. It might be an outside force that is trying to bring it in. So you understand, I am a spirit being. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Inside me, all things have passed away. All things have become new. All right? I have a soul. I live inside this body. So you understand that if the body is weak, you can say, I am strong. You can pump life into that body. You can energize that body because it's an instrument that you have been given by God to inhabit this earth. With my body, I serve the purposes of God on the earth. I fulfill righteousness. It is the instrument through which I manifest righteousness on the earth. Things like I have the life of God on the inside of me. I am born of the incorruptible seed, which is God's word. That if confusion sets into your mind, you understand you are not that mind, but you are a spirit being. And that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. And it teaches you all things and guides you into all the truth. So you can communicate that to your mind. That, listen, I am guided by the Spirit, the all-knowing one. He has revealed the deep things of God to me in this situation. You cannot manifest that if there is no private practice of this principle, all right, in isolation. I possess the measure of faith through which I have overcome the world, overcome the devil, and overcome the flesh. The love of Jesus is shed abroad inside my heart in abundant measure. So I respond. Confessions like that, All right? Greater is he that is inside me than he that is in the world. Now, these are general ones in terms of, I'm just confessing, but as you study the scriptures prayerfully, he will show you more scriptures there that speak about your own individuality in God. That, you know, nobody has to hear, but you must hear those scriptures. You must declare those scriptures and hear them. And the way you get this thing into your heart is to exercise, all right? Practice this, all right, in isolation, declaring this to yourself. Now, this man, who is that man, the real you, must never be defeated. Therefore, never allow your spirit man to be conquered. What does that mean? You must never, with your words, surrender to the conditions around you. Even in the face of absolute defeat, never allow Satan to gain control over your tongue. For that man, your real you, what it uses to express things are words. And once words, all right, get corrupted and it comes words of defeat. That's why he says, let the weak say, I am strong. That's the spirit's response, all right, to what's going on the outside. If you do that, the love of God will manifest, all right, in your life in that situation if you don't give in. And is this I want to speak about today. So choose the one thing you want to consciously exercise faith for. I'll talk about this next week, go back to a thought we started 2 weeks ago. All right, during this period, choose one definite thing. Don't get distracted, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things to come and contaminate that. Somebody wrote to me and said, well, I have people I'm praying for. That doesn't disturb what we're saying. Abraham had, all right, a father of many nations. That was the driving promise in his life. That's what he was reaching for. But yes, he interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. He prayed, all right, for people. He helped people. But that was what he was consciously, all right, believing God for. So what is that very thing you are pushing? Okay, if you have too many things there, right, and you divide your attention, you scatter things, and it becomes difficult for you, all right, to be able to concentrate and get a real result. Now, it might be difficult at first, and let me say this, that what you are reaching for appears difficult. But if you daily pound the barriers, not on the outside, inside your heart with God's word, you daily pound those barriers on the inside of you with your words every day. That's what Paul said, let us labor that we don't fall after the same example of unpersuadableness. If you daily there, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that's a spoken word. If you daily pound on those barriers in your heart, you will shatter them, all right, after some time, and you will be unstoppable. So daily, all right, in this practice, you'll pound on the barriers. I heard Kathy Duplantis say this. She said that they tell them in the U.S. Marine that any challenge they give to you, right, no matter how difficult it is, it's possible. They tell them when they're training them. Repeated exercise will always get you there. That if we tell you to do this, and it appears, the difficult level appears very high, that listen, all it takes is continuously be going at it. Don't give up. Continuously be going at it. Continuously. Just keep going at that. What they tell them? And it's the same thing. Keep speaking those things out. Keep speaking those things out. Gradually, after 1 week, you'll find out what seemed so far is getting closer. And then after some time, it gets get closer. And that one becomes the reality within. And it's entered fully into your spirit man. Right? And then an important element also is identify the purpose. Very important for what you are exercising this faith for. The purpose for that particular thing you're exercising your faith for. In other words, I'm believing God for this, but what's the purpose? What is this going to be used for? When it comes into my hand, what is it going to be used for? Now check your purpose. Because the problem is that God said that the reason why people don't receive is because they want to consume it upon their lust.
Thank you for listening.